Okay, I think we're on, we're down to Sarah, verse 48.
Yes.
Let's chant the first two verses of the text. Okay, we have an extra one. So we usually chant the first two verses that start on page 2 here. Ready?
Sorry, say that again. Which verses?
First two verses.
Chapter 1?
Yeah, the very first two verses are the prayer verses.
Okay.
So we start with that. Akandam Sachidanandam Avang Manasagocharam. Akandam Sachidanandam Avang Manasagocharam. Atmanam Akilataram Ashraye Krishna Siddhaye. Arthato Chidvayanandam Atita Twaita Bhansaha Atita Twaita Bhansaha. Guru Naraja Vedanta Saram Bhakshaya Pamati. Guru Naraja Vedanta Saram Bhakshaya Pamati. So repeat after me, back from the beginning. Akandam Sachidanandam. Akandam Sachidanandam. Avang Manasagocharam. Avang Manasagocharam. Atmanam Akiladharam. Atmanam Akiladharam Ashriye Dhishta Siddhaye. Ashriye Dhishta Siddhaye. Artato Chidvayanandan. Artato Chidvayanandan. Atita Dvaita Bhanataha. Atita Dvaita Bhanataha. Guru Naraja Vedanta Saram Bhakshaya Thamasu. Guru Naraja Vedanta Saram Bhakshaya Thamasu. Verse 48. Page 34 in your book.
Do these verses stand alone, or is there a connection?
No, they don't stand alone. We're on the topic. So, see that for me. Eitad upahitayoho. I'm breaking this in the Eitad upahitayoho. Right? Eitad upahitayoho.
Eitad
upahitayoho. Okay. Eitad.
Eitad.
Upahitayoho. Ishwara Pradnyayor.
Ishwara Pradnyayor.
Api.
Api.
Vana Vriksha. Vana Vriksha.
Vana Vriksha.
Avachinna.
Avachinna.
Akashayor Iva.
Akashayor Iva.
Jala Ashaya.
Jala Ashaya.
Jala Gata.
Jala Gata.
Pratibimba.
Pratibimba.
Akashayor.
Akashayor.
Kiva.
Kiva.
Va.
Va.
Abedaha.
Abedaha.
Esha Sarveshwaraha.
Esha Sarveshwaraha.
Esha Sarveshwara.
Esha Sarveshwara.
Esha Sarvagnya.
Esha Sarvagnya.
Eshon Terayami. Eshon Terayami Esha.
Eshon
Tarayam Yesha.
Eshon Tarayam Yesha.
Yonihi.
Yonihi.
Sarvasya.
Sarvasya.
Prabhava.
Prabhava.
Apyayau.
Apyayau.
Hi.
Hi.
Bhutanam.
Bhutanam.
Mandu. From Mandu stands for Mandukya. Mandu, Mandukya, and Upa Upanishad, and the sixth verse of the Mandukya Upanishad is chanting. Ityadi Shrutehe.
Ityadi Shrutehe.
Now I'm going to read it with a sentence broken. Etat Upahita Yoho. Repa is Prasarga. Etat Upahita Yoho. Ishwara Pragnyayoho. another break of the sarga, Pradnya Yoho, Pati. Vana Vriksha Avachinna Akasha Yoho Eva. Jala Ashaya Jala Gatta Pratibimba Akasha Yoho Eva Va Abhedaha Eshaha Sarva Ishwaraha, Sarveshwaraha, Sarva Ishwaraha, calm down, Sarveshwaraha. Eshaha Sarvajnaha. Eshaha Antaryami. That Yakara is an E. Antaryami. Eshaha Yonihi. Sarvasya Papava Apyayao. He Bhutanam. Mandukya Upanishad Iti Adi Shrutehe. So I think it might be off here. So how we should get this kind of stuff.
Do you have more else to chance?
No.
It's about time.
Well, I have a little one which I've been getting by that. I can hardly see.
It's like 100 bucks.
It's expensive.
You shouldn't. Well, I mean, if you support the original pronunciation, you go for kirtan. I mean, not as a kirtan, but as a just composition, playing the harmonium, as a better thing.
Sometimes.
Because it can get you even more deeper into it. I like to do that, actually, some of them. I'm not good at that, because I'm just playing harmonium now.
Seems like we started the last class in the same way.
Just like that.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my God. For some reason, I...
Yeah. You just play chords, right? And then you use the chords.
Yeah,
that's the chords.
The mm-hmm.
momentum, or the more flow.
Isn't that alright?
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect that.
To match that, yeah.
Everybody, it's Upya. It is Upya, short of. And it comes from the root of ki. Ki means to go. It means to disappear and to vanish, to come to an end. It also means approaching, meeting, joining. That's not our meaning here. Entrance into vanishing, disappearance. That's how we're using it. Absorption, dissolution into destruction. Okay, so it's short of. I was right, but I just had a doubt. Okay, so Prabhava Abhyayal Ki Bhutanam. Did I see that? Prabhava Abhyayal Ki Bhutanam. Okay. So here's this one. If you just look for a minute, we did verse 47 last class. Anayoho Samashti Vyashtyoho Vanavrishayoho Iva Jalashya Yoho Iva Va Abedaha. Here it says, for these two, they're talking about Ishwar and Prajna. The Sameshti, Ishwar is the Sameshti, the aggregate, total aggregate, and the Vyashti. So for these two, the individual ignorance and the total ignorance, the Sameshti is the total aggregate, the aggregate, the Vyashti is the individual. So for these two, like the forest and the tree, Vanavriksha Yoho, or like the Jala, the Jalashya, the reservoir of water, right? Or the drop of water, the Jala or the reservoir. So Jalashya is the reservoir of water, the tank of water. So the Jalashya and Jala Yoho. So the second Jala is just the individual water, which means the water droplets, okay? Just as there is abheda, here the abheda between these two, the vriksha is not separate from the forest. It's included within the forest, and the drop of water, the vyashti, is included in the sameshti. There's no separation there, right? And so, like that, between the individual ignorance, which is unmanifest as abhyakta, the individual ignorance and the total ignorance, there's abheda. There's no separation. The individual ignorance, the vyashti, is part of the sameshti. Now we're going to look at it from consciousness. Okay? So we've looked at the vyashti and the sameshti where the part, the vyashti is part of the sameshti. And they give the example of the forest and the tree and the drop of water and the reservoir. Long ago.
What was the total ignorance?
Sameshti, that total means sameshti, that's Ishwara. The Ishwara is the total ajnana, where prajna is the individual ajnana. Remember, we went to the sukshma sharira and we've already done the stula and sukshma sharira. Okay, so etad upahita yoho Ishwara prajna yoho api. Okay, vana vriksha avachinna akasha yoho eva. Jala Ashya, Jalashya, Jalagata, Pradibimba, Akasha Yoho Eva, Abedaha. So now they're saying, okay. This part, Ehad Upahita Yoho. Sometimes we often use the word Upahita Chaitanyam. Samesh, we use this as a common phrase. It's not here, but I'm just doing this as a kind of an introduction. The Sameshti Upahita Chaitanya. Upahita Chaitanya. Consciousness which is conditioned by the total. Sameshti Upahita Chaitanya. Chaitanya means consciousness. Okay? So Sameshti Upahita Chaitanya. Consciousness conditioned by Upahita, associated with the Sameshti. Means the total, the whole, Maya Upadhi, the Sameshti Maya Upadhi. So Sameshti Upahita Chaitanya, consciousness conditioned by the Sameshti, by the whole, is Ishwara, right? So consciousness conditioned by the whole Maya Upadi, or in reference to, related to the entire Maya Upadi, so the Sameshti, you can say Sameshti Maya Upadi, or just the Maya Upadi, or the Sameshti Upadi. So Chaitanyam, consciousness, Upahita, conditioned by the Sameshti, is Ishwara. Vyashti Upahita Chaitanya, consciousness, Chaitanya, conditioned by the Vyashti, by the individual aggregate, the individual, the Vyashti, is the Jiva, okay, or Prajna. So here, when we're talking about the Ajnanam, the total Ajnanam, we're talking about here, when we say Ishwara, you have to bring in consciousness. There is no Ishwara without consciousness. So if we say Sameshti Upahita Chaitanyam, that's Ishwara. Vyashti Upahita Chaitanyam, Prajna. Okay? So the Sameshti Ajnanam, which is the Sameshti Maya Upadi, that's Ishwara. Because the Chaitanya conditioned by the Maya Upadi, Ishwara. The Maya Upadi, the Chaitanya conditioned by the Vyashti, which we call Ajnanam, right? That is the Prajna. Okay? So the individual, conditioned by the individual. So here it says, Etat Upahita Yoho, Ishwara Prajna Yoho. Ishwara and Prajna. For Ishwara and Prajna. Genitive dual of Ishwara and Prajna, Dvandva. Ishwara Prajna Yoho. For Ishwara and Prajna also, right? Those two, which are conditioned by that, by the Ajnanam, conditioned by that Ajnanam, because we're talking about now consciousness, really. Ishwara and Prajna means the conscious being. Prajna is the conscious being, plus the Vyashti Ajnanam, the conscious being, plus the Sameshti Ajnanam is Ishwara, the consciousness, plus the Vyashti Ajnanam is Prajna. When you say Prajna, it brings in consciousness. When you say Ishwara, it brings in consciousness. So it says, okay, also for the Ishwara of Ishwara and Prajna, which are conditioned, aided by that, Upahita conditioned, right, or so in association with that, Ajnanam, then Vana Vriksha Avachinna Akasha Yoho Eva. It is Eva like of Akasha. Of Akasha Yoho is in the dual, right? It is like the Akashas, the spaces. See how they, what they mean by that. But Akasha Yoho, which are like the space, which is Avachinna, enclosed by. Bordered by, or held by, or contained by Avachinna, by the tree and by the forest. Vana is tree. So the space, in reference to the tree space, and the forest space. So you could say the space, which is conditioned by, enclosed by the forest, by the tree, and the space which is enclosed by the forest. So it's conditioned by. We can use Avachinna as conditioned by. Do you understand? Like if I were to say, another example we use for this is pot space. Right? The pot space is conditioned by the, or held or enclosed by the pot. And the room space, the space is enclosed by the room. It's bordered by the room or contained by the room as though. Right? Because in truth it isn't. But I can say, here's pot space, here's room space, here's Berkeley space, here's California space, like that. Okay? So here we could say the tree space, the space conditioned by the tree, or the space conditioned by the forest. Okay? So you're going to use two examples. This first one is the Avachinnavada. Avachinnavada means it's contained by or enclosed by as though. Right? So the pot, the space is as though contained or enclosed by the tree or by the pot. It makes it easier to understand somehow. So that's the Avachinnavada, that which is contained or enclosed by or which is conditioned by. Now we're going to use another one. Jalashya is the reservoir of water. Jalagata is that which obtains in the water. Gata goes with Jalashya Gata or Jalagata. Let's do the next word to make it clear. Pratibimba akasha yoho. Pratibimba means reflected. Okay. The akasha, which is a reflection, the of the two akashas, one is the reflection, pratibimba, gata, which is obtaining in, this is how gata is used, which is gone into, it means which is obtaining in, the reservoir of water, and the akasha, which is reflected in, right? The akasha, which whose reflection is in the individual drop of water, and the akasha, whose reflection is in the whole reservoir, right?
Space is reflected in water?
Yeah, like if I look into water, and I can not only see the space and the clouds and the trees, and they usually use sun for it, here they're using space.
That's
okay. Va abedaha, so here's your nominative. Just as there is no difference, abedaha, there's no separation or difference. Va means or, because they're using two examples. In English, you say like this. The eva is just as, or like. Like there is a beta, no difference. Now the genitive is between. The yoho, take that genitive, because when you have a genitive of two things, you can say between. Just like there is a beta, huh? Between the space, there is no difference between the space, which is conditioned by the forest, and the space, which is conditioned by the tree. So let's look at that. Vana is forest. You ready with me? Vana is forest. Vriksha, tree. Avachinna, we use conditioned by. Vana, vriksha, avachinna by. Avachinna, avakasha yoho, eva. Abedaha. Okay? So the eva, just like. There is abedaha, no difference. The yoho, between. The space, conditioned by the forest. Vana avachinna akasha, and the space conditioned by the tree. Do you see how I'm reading that compound?
Mm-hmm.
Vana vriksha avachinna avakasha yoho. So there's a dual. Literally it says between the space is conditioned by the forest and the tree. But how would we say it in English? Just as there is no difference between the space which is conditioned by the forest and the space which is conditioned by the tree, there's no abeda, there's no distinction, there's no difference there. The va for the abeda, you see that va abedaha? Or, like, just as there is no abeda between the jalashya jalagata pratibimba akasha yoho. Just like there is no difference, duality, between the akasha reflected, which is a reflection in the reservoir of water, and the akasha, which is a reflection in the drop of water. There's no difference, there's no separation or difference between those two akashas. Right, so you've got an akasha, which is being space, being reflected in a drop of water. The space is reflected in the drop. The space is reflected in the reservoir. That reflection, even though there seems to be two reflections, in fact, there's only one akasha. There's no two akashas.
So space doesn't become smaller?
No. The space, the reflection, it appears separate because of the reflection. But in fact, there's only one space. There's a small drop of water reflecting the space. There's a big reservoir of water reflecting the space. But the space is only one. Similarly, if you have the space which is conditioned by one tree or conditioned by a whole forest space or tree space, really there's only one space. You can knock down the tree and knock down the forest. Space doesn't have any type of beta, any type of separation. Right? So like that.
Well, space has no dimension.
No, Ed.
I'm sorry.
Listen,
yes.
Just for a minute. If I take a pot, this is an example where if I take a pot and I move it from A to B, does space move? No. Nothing happens to space. space is in and through all of the objects. Space is not contained by any object, right? So if I say this is pot space, is it really? The pot space is only in reference to the upadhi pot. There's no real pot space. Because otherwise when I move this pot from A to B, I'm going to be moving the space. But in fact, space is totally asunga. It's totally free from the upadhi. So even if I say, okay, there's pot space and there's room space. Is there room space? If I knock down the walls and something happened to space, has the room space been disturbed? There never was room space. Like, it's an appearance that is brought about by the upadhi, but in fact it doesn't touch the space. So that's one. It's called avicinnavada. It means if I'm looking at something as conditioned by the upadhi, like for instance if I say the atma is conditioned by the mind. Like the atma exists in the mind. It's conditioned by the mind. Or I can say that the atma is reflected in the mind. That's pratibimba. So we've got avakashavada that uses the upadhi as conditioning something, and pratibimbavada, that's in terms of reflection. So we use these two examples for ways of differentiating consciousness from the upadhis. One is it's conditioned by, one reflects. Yeah, that's good enough for now. And so here, we're saying, for Ishwara and Prajna. Now, Ishwara is consciousness, plus for Prajna, plus the Vyeshti Ajnana. Ishwara is consciousness, plus the Sameshti Ajnana. Those words clear? Individual prajna is the word for the individual ignorance. Yeah. Consciousness plus the individual ignorance. Ishwara is consciousness plus the sameshti ajnana. So he says here, now for Ishwara and prajna, which is conditioned by these two, right? The individual ajnana and the sameshti ajnana. Vanavriksha avachinna akasha yoho Eva va abedha. There is no difference, right? Like there's no difference between space conditioned by the tree and space conditioned by the forest. Or like there's no difference between space reflected in the reservoir and space reflected, right, in the drop of water. Vada means there's two positions, two ways of dealing with this. There's the avachinnavada, or avakasha, avachinnavada, and the also called avacheda, and there's the pratibimba. So either something conceived is conditioned by, or something that is reflected. So either way, space is not contained in reality. Like that, the consciousness, which is the self of the prajna and the self of Ishwara, is not contained or reflected by the upadhi. There's no bheda. There's no division. There's no difference. There's no duality there. That's the abheda. You see? So then it says a quote from the Mandukya Upanishad. Eshaha, this, Eshaha Atma, this Atma is Sarveshwaraha, is the self of all, to Mahavakya. Eshaha, this one, this Atma, is Sarveshwaraha, the self of all, the Lord of all, the Ishwara of everything, the Lord of all. And then he gets some more of the quote that's really not part of the Vedanta Sara. He gets more of the Mandukya. Eshaha Sarvajnaha, this Atma, is Sarvajnaha, omniscient, all knowledge. Nyaha, Sarva, Sarvajnaha, all knowledge. It is, this Atma is the Antaryami. The Antaryami is the one who goes through everything and provides the order, the controller, the one who controls everything. It's the order, that which holds everything together as one being. So the infinite order, the Antaryami. How does he translate? The inner controller, yeah. Antaryami. Eshaha Yonihi. This is the Yonihi Sarvasya, the womb. The womb, the origin of everything. The source. Yonihi is the source of all. That's good. Yoni literally means womb. That from which everything comes. And what we did in the Taittiriya, that from which all things are born. Just, that's the same thing into which everything goes. That's the Yoni, the womb. That which from all things come. So Yonihi Sarvasya, the Yoni, the womb of everything. Prabhava Papyayao. Prabhava means that is the birth, the origin. That from which that's the birth, and that's the origin of where it comes from which it is born, the Prabhava, the source, and the Apyaya, that where it goes, where it resolves. So it's the birth, you know, the origin and dissolution. Or the birth, and Apyaya means also destruction, the dissolution, or where it resolves into. Prabhava is from where gives it birth. Its origin is its Prabhava. And Apyaya is where it dissolves. So that's in the dual, so it's one of the dual. Prabhava, Apyaya. Prabhava, Apyaya, Ibhutanam. Of all beings. It is the origin and the place of dissolution. Bhutanam, for all beings. So he's just giving this Mandukya as a quote to support what he's saying here. Iti adi shrutehe. That's iti adi, from this shruti, etc. From this shruti beginning with, or from such shruti such as this. Okay. Everybody see?
Antaryami
is the inner controller. It's like the that which all the infinite order, the one who makes it a whole being. So they say Antaryami, that which is inside, that which goes inside through everything, holding it all together. You know, like the string through the pearls. The string that goes through all of the beads, it holds it all together as one entity, as the Antaryami. So sometimes they translate as inner controller. That's Swamiji does too, translate like that sometimes. Hard to translate these words.
But what is it actually? Is it a deity also? Or?
No, it's Hiranyagarbha. You know, it's the infinite order that holds it into one and makes it all one entity. The conscious being that pervades the whole thing.
So that's also part of the conscious. Consciousness expression.
The conscious expression as Hiranyagarbha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's this word called when it's resolved? There's Virat and Garbha.
Well, it goes Virat Vishwa for Stula Sharira. Virat is Ishwara, Vishwa is the Jiva.
Mm-hmm.
Then Hiranyagarbha Tajasa. Hiranyagarbha, Ishwara, Tajasa, this is subtle.
Okay.
And then it goes Ishwara Pragya. So Ishwara is Brahman with the Maya Upadhi. The Sameshti Ajnanam is Maya. Right? The total Ajnanam, what is Ajnanam? Maya, what we call Maya for Ishwara is Ajnanam for the Jiva. Right? So we can call Maya also as Ajnanam, the Sameshti Ajnanam, but for Ishwara, the Sameshti Ajnanam has only Vikshepa, the projecting capacity. There's no avarana, there's no covering, because it's the total Maya Upadhi, whereas for the Jiva, who is part of the Vikshepa, Ishwara's Vikshepa, projection, from the standpoint of the Jiva, that Maya becomes a covering, because the Jiva, the Upadhi, Jiva Upadhi, is part of the Maya projection, and then is looking around within the Maya, and can't get out of it. All of the means of knowledge, right, limit the jiva to the experience of the Maya Upadhi. All of the sense organs and the mind, everything's looking outward. So the Maya Upadhi becomes an avarana, as though a covering. You see, it becomes as though a covering for Brahman, because all of the pramanas, all of the means of knowledge that are part of Ishwara's vikshepa, Ishwara's projection, right, this jiva is part of the Ishwara projection, all of the means of knowledge are locked within the box of the universe. So your sense organs can only see forms, for instance. Your ears can only hear sound. Your vrittis, the vrittis are always produced by impressions that are born of the Maya Upadhi. So the Maya Upadhi as though covers the same Maya Upadhi that projects the whole creation and is Ishwar's Vikshepa, Ishwar's projection, acts as and as though a covering for the self from the standpoint of the jiva, because the very Maya which created the Upadhi now can only, all of the pramanas can only see outward. So you're only seeing and experiencing Maya, even though your being is aparoksha.
It's because of perception, though, right?
Yeah,
of
there's the, no real jiva.
Dharma. Yeah, okay, and so it's the jiva has avarna.
That's right. Only the, so we say that for the jiva, the jnanam has two capacities. We'll get into this in the, Vedantasar gets into this. The two capacities are shaktis, avarna, the covers, and the covering, and the shape of the projection, like we can project a, you know, snake on a rope. We can have dreams, etc., projections. So that's the Vikshepa, but the Avarana is the covering, because we don't know the Atma. The Atma is, we know the Atma in terms of the, what we call the Samanya Jnanam. I exist, I'm a conscious being, I am me, all of this. But we don't know the Atma, the nature of that consciousness or existence. So, because it's superimposed upon the Maya Upadhi. So I say I am, which is Brahman. You're referring to Brahman when you say I am. Then you say I am the body. So I am, that's Brahman, perfect. But I am my mind. Right? So who's saying that? The mind itself. The mind is the one that says I am the body, I am the mind, I am happy, I am sad. It's identifying the self with the Maya Upadhi, with the jiva upadhi. Because of that, ajnanam is covering, the ajnanam is acting as a covering of the self. Not that the self isn't a parocha, the self is, yourself is immediately recognizable and present as I am a conscious being. But the vishesha jnanam, the particular knowledge of my consciousness is Brahman, I am Brahman, is not there, but I am limitless, I am free from time, I am the whole, I'm, you know, that's the avarna that's brought about by the nature of the Maya, of the Upadhi, which is a product of Maya. So, same Maya, but one is Sameshti, so no Ajnanam, one is Vyashti. So from Ishwar's standpoint, there's just of the twofold Shaktis, Avarna and the Vikshepa. For Ishwar, it's only Vikshepa, the Maya just projects the infinite, you know, infinite knowledge. But for the Jiva, which is projected, that same Vikshepa acts as Avarna. So the Ajnana has twofold capacity from the standpoint of the Jiva, Avarna and Vikshepa. Okay. So. But in reality, the Atma, the Chaitanya, which is the Chaitanya of the Prajna, of the individual conditioned by ignorance, and Ishwara, which is the Sameshi Ajnanam, which is the whole Maya Upadhi, from the standpoint of the consciousness, there's no beta, there's no difference at all. It's one. Just like for the Akasha, there's not really any tree Akasha, tree space, or forest space. There's only one space. That differentiation is only from the standpoint of the Upadhi, from the standpoint of space, of say, I'm not limited by the tree and I'm not limited by the forest either. It makes no difference to me. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, just like the Akasha reflected in a big reservoir of water, or the Akasha reflected in a drop. That differentiation is only from the standpoint of the Upadhi, from the standpoint of the Akasha, of the space. There's no difference at all. There's only, like that, there's only one Chaitanya, there's only one conscious being. You know, but from the standpoint of the Sameshti Upadhi, it's Ishwara. From the standpoint of the Vyashti Upadhi, it's Prajna. Prajna or Tajasa or Vishwa. Or Ishwara or Hiranyagarbha from the Sukshma, or Virat from the Stula.
But consciousness has no standpoint. I mean, there's no...
No, from consciousness, there's no other thing.
There's no Ishwara and there's no Jiva.
No. Ishwara and Jiva are only from the standpoint of the Upadhi. But then, you have to be careful there when you say the Upadhi also is the Maya Upadhi, right? Doesn't exist anywhere else except in Brahman. So Ishwara is Brahman, right? Or Brahman is Ishwara in the sense that Brahman is free from Ishwara, but Ishwara is totally dependent on Brahman, right? So that's why in this knowledge for Jnani, it's not just I am Brahman. You have to, you can say I am Brahman, but it's better to say I am Ishwara. Because if you say I am Ishwara, then you recognize that I am the whole, because it takes into account the Maya Upadhi, which is only Brahman. But then if you just say I am Brahman, when you say that, it's fine. But when you say that, are you accounting for the Maya Upadhi or not?
That's the
because you can say I am Brahman and then think, you know, that the Maya Upadhi is over here. The Maya Upadhi isn't over here. I, in fact, am Ishwara, and if you can say that, then you know I am Brahman, which is the truth of Ishwara. You know. So as a jiva, you want to be able to say, I am Ishwara. You see why? Because if you just can only say I am Brahman, then you can be under the illusion that you should have to resolve into Brahman and physically remove duality. Mm-hmm. Because in reality, you are Brahman, the non-dual Satchitananda, and this is something else.
Yeah.
I am Brahman, this is something else. You have to be able to say, no, I am Ishwara, which is Brahman. Then it's complete.
Yeah. Wow. That's the advice that you have sometimes, right? You see the...
It can be. It can be because people don't want to know about Ishwara because the word God is so negatively
tarnished.
Noted, tarnished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can't even use, even when you're talking about Ishwara, to translate it as God is a problem because the word God already it has its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It has a Judeo-Christian meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's you can't translate it that way. You have to unfold Ishwara. The word, you have to keep the word Ishwara and unfold it.
The definition doesn't work.
No, you're because you have grown up with a concept of God, and so we just try to replace the word. You're bringing in the Western definition by using the word. So you have to be careful.
What does aproksha mean exactly?
Aproksha is self-evident.
So.
Like we say, consciousness is self-evident, you don't need another consciousness to light it up. So we say self-evident, immediate. An example we use would be like the sun is self-evident, you don't need to bring in another sun to light it up.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need for the Atman, you don't need to bring in another conscious being to make the Atman conscious. It's self-evident, self-luminous, immediate.
Okay.
Independent, doesn't require anything else.
And then you mentioned the jiva has two coverings. Yeah. Two.
That ajnanam. That ajnanam, ignorance, from the standpoint of the jiva,
uh-huh,
has two shaktis, two capacities. Ignorance has two capacities.
Okay.
First one is avarana, covering. It can cover, it covers the self. And vikshepa, projection. So avarana vikshepa, covering and projection. And so an example for that is in mistaking a rope for a snake, the rope has to first be not recognized. It has to be covered. You can't have a cognition of the rope and have the projection of the snake. So the rope has to be the particularity of the rope has to be covered in order for the snake to be projected on it. But the samanya jnanam, the general knowledge of the rope has to be there, the bends and the, or else there's not going to be any snake if you don't perceive anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the general perception of the thisness of the rope you have to see, but not the particular knowledge of this as a rope. So you see the thisness, the bends and the diameter, and it's there. Right? And so, but it's not there as it is. And then you can project a rope or a water streak, I mean a snake or a water streak or a branch or anything that might look like that can be projected on it. So here, the samanya jnana, the general knowledge of yourself, is aparoksha. It's immediate as your isness, your being, your consciousness. But not that it's free from time, free from space, limitless, the self of all beings. That you don't know. But you do have the thisness, I am, I exist. And then the nature of that is covered. The nature of it, the particular nature of it. Just like the particular nature of the rope is covered. The rope, the thisness isn't. So my amness, my consciousness, that's not covered, but the particularity of what it actually is covered. That's the avarna. When it's covered, then I take it to be anything else. If I don't know what it is, you know, then I take it whatever it seems to be. Like, for instance, the mind. The mind is never away from consciousness, so the mind should be conscious, should be the consciousness. And the mind is located in the body. So the mind should be dependent on the body, and I become this whole conglomerate. So that's the projection. But I take it to be what it's not. That's the projection.
Why is it that Brahman, the knowledge of Brahman seems real easy, and the knowledge of Ishvara is more challenging, or there's more of a growth with that understanding?
Because all you need, in a sense, for recognizing, I won't say Brahman, but for recognizing the Atma, the self, right, is strict Drishya Viveka. It's a differentiation between, you know, the conscious being and the things that you can objectify. But there's another step involved to seeing that as limitless, that Atma as limitless. And then there's yet another step for recognizing that the Jiva Upadhi is part and parcel of the total Upadhi, right? And that it's all Mithya. These are other steps. So it's a lot easier to get to the first step only, right, which is one of differentiation. And then from there's a logical jump. It's not a jump in logic, but it's just the next step in logic to realize that if consciousness is differentiated from things, all limited things, then it itself is not limited by them, right? If I differentiate consciousness from something that has a limitation, then I don't take on the limitation of that thing that I've differentiated consciousness from. Well, if I differentiate consciousness from everything that exists within time and space, then consciousness itself is not bound by time and space, and so it becomes limitless.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay, as though easy, but it's not that easy, because even though I say I understand, usually I recognize consciousness still as spatially limitless and existing forever in time instead of free of space and free of time. So that work needs to be done there to make sure that's seen. And then from there, once I can recognize that, oh, my being is your being, because if I've differentiated all these upadis from my nature, and you have too, what's to differentiate myself from yourself? Right? But then the Dehatma Buddhi is so strong that what makes me has something to do with this body. It's so, so strong.
Yeah.
That it can be difficult to recognize that the me that makes me this body, that I think is given to me because of this upadhi, that me actually is the nature of the self that's been differentiation. That the very personal me is the nature of Brahman. So that needs some sitting and some work.
Yeah.
Okay, but then I recognize, okay, there's only one self, which is limitless. And that so now that limitless self has been removed from being being individualized by objects in the creation. So now the whole creation enjoys that self. So now what's the relationship between that self and the whole creation? So then all the mid-tests where all of these things come in. And then there's all the problems of vairagya, you know, attachment. Even though you can understand this, understand it, your mind always gets sucked into the jiva torment. Even though you understand that the mind isn't living its understanding because of lack of vairagya. And that lack, that gaining the vairagya is a subtle, subtle process. Because there's just all kinds of ways on many different levels that the ahankara is hooked.
It attaches.
The ahankara attaches, and you don't even recognize it. You know, that's why this thing that I like so much what Swamiji is doing now with this particular meditative process he's doing, because it's another way that it relieves you of the ahankara that in some ways have unconsciously attaches. You don't even realize it until it's lit up for you, and then that releases you of that ahankara. So interesting, even to watch the ahankara, the I thought being generated by your situations.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then to be able to see that and then objectify that whole event. We'll do lots of meditations. I'm going to try to do a whole string of meditations on
that. That's so good.
Yeah.
Well, thinking of that word, jiva srishti in relation to jiva tum, and how the jiva tum is really just the jiva srishti. And, you know, we talk about this differentiation, but I was thinking there's another piece of pulling back the projection, which of that jiva srishti, that imagination.
Yeah.
And that's so essential in the vairagya. You can't get to that dispassion where you're still projecting this imagination upon the situation that is, you know, the snake on the rope. So you have that whole process of seeing things for what they are, which is not the same as the differentiating between.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
How do we talk about that in Vedanta? I haven't found the connection, that process that I'm talking about, recognizing. I mean, in one of your thoughts on just Swamiji, he was saying that a lot of the obstructions, the pratibandhakas, are too many conclusions. He has so many conclusions about everything. But I don't hear in the teaching, or I haven't associated what I'm saying with how this is addressed in the teaching.
Well, first of all, we have the terms jiva srishti and ishvara srishti.
We do.
Right? Jiva Srishti and Ishvara Srishti. That's how come you know these terms.
Yeah.
So the Ishvara Srishti is just the objective Vyavahara, and the Jiva Srishti is what we project on it. So that projection is really born of the Ahankara attaching to a given situation, like attaching to a state of mind or attaching to a desire. Right? And once it attaches to a desire, that desire temple, I want this in order to be happy, then the Jiva is generated in that situation. That's the jiva srishti.
And then I start seeing everything with reference to my desire.
That's right.
Versus how it is.
Yeah. You know, a good kind of an interesting meditation on this. It's kind of an open eye meditation that you can just do whenever this happens. Is say in your mind the desire rises and you feel kind of the tension or the worry that desire brings, because once it's a desire, then it brings kind of an angst, in a sense, because you want that to happen. That's what makes it a desire. I want it so I can be happy.
Yeah.
So one interesting meditation is whenever you feel that kind of angst or that desire that has risen, you feel the discomfort, then just shut your eyes and just imagine what it is that you're imagining that you want. You want something, right? Then you can just imagine that, what it is that you want, because what it is that your mind has, for whatever samskaras, whatever reasons, decided that this particular little scene, this little scenario, you know, that you're imagining, this will make you happy. And so just let yourself, just to relieve the mind, just let yourself have the imagination of this scenario, and then you can see that the mind enjoys that little scenario, and then you say, oh, this is what it is. I think that this little scene or this little image, you know, will give me happiness. It'll generate the happiness. So you imagine that image, and then you say, oh, this is now, you know, my version. This is now my version of Ananda.
Yeah, I got it.
This is my Ananda vision, you know. It's really funny, and then you can do it, because everything becomes so obvious when you do this. And then if you stick with this little Ananda vision for a moment, you can just see all of the problems. that are going to come, then you remember, okay, I'm the Ananda, not the image.
Yeah.
The image is not the Ananda. I am the Ananda that is filling this image, you know. It's really sweet. And another one is the opposite. It's like when you're the negative desire, like you're afraid something's going to happen. Then you say, when you feel that worry, then you let yourself imagine that fearful situation. Just see it. Imagine, let yourself manifest the image that is actually there, right, that's causing this angst. Imagine it, and then just see what that is, and oh, it's this that I'm afraid of, this is what's making me so worried, and then just hold that image for a while, and you'll see, it doesn't really have anything to do with your being, it releases you. Yeah, these are the types of meditations that support what I know. On a practical level, you know, of a practice, they support what I know. Should we do a prayer? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.